talking together these weeks about the meaning of life. It's a really huge subject. And we're taking a little bit different perspective on it. And I want you to turn your attention to the screens, if you would, and hear a testimonial of a young gal. Maybe.
I always wanted my life to be so different from my mom's, and it turns out it's not really so different. I guess I was about 4 years old when my parents split up. I think my mom was devastated. She wasn't working at that time, and she had small children, and she just didn't know what to do or where to go. It was only about 2 or 3 months after the actual divorce happened, she married a man that she had met at church. I was so young when it all happened, it didn't seem like that big of a deal to me. I guess things kind of started to change when I was in first grade. My stepdad started sexually abusing me. I guess when I was about 17, I started rebelling against my mom, against the church, against our whole charade of a life we had going on. And I found a bad boyfriend, an older guy, started drinking, having sex, staying out way too late, and then I got pregnant. We went ahead and got married, and it seemed to be fine. We, you know, settled in, had our first baby. We ended up having 2 more children. We bought a house.
Say, Dada, we did that. That makes you smile, huh?
And Mark called me from work and said he needed to talk to me. He told me that he wasn't in love anymore. He denied having a girlfriend for a really long time until he finally came clean about it. And he had been seeing someone from his office. I don't know how long it had been going on. And that he didn't want to be married anymore. And I didn't know what to do. It didn't really make sense for me to go get a job because, for one thing, I never finished college and I would have to put my 2 youngest children in daycare. So I was living on the child support and alimony plus food stamps. I thought, what am I doing here? I'm just your normal average mom in the normal average neighborhood. I don't belong in a welfare office.
How many times do I have to tell them don't stand up in this tub?
I think one of the hardest things was all of a sudden, I had the kids, 3 kids, small children under the age of 6, all to myself, all day, every day. It's just overwhelming trying to get 3 kids dressed in the morning, feed them breakfast, make a lunch, get one to school, spend the rest of the day with the other ones, taking care of them.
Dakota, don't throw sand.
Giving them all in baths, reading to them at night, putting them all to bed. There are days when I just want to run away. I don't want to do it anymore. I often wonder, what else is there? I know I'm not just a mom. I'm just looking for some other significance in my life besides just being a mom and just taking care of kids. But it's really hard to see that there's ever going to be anything else.
Does any of that sound familiar? When our meaning of life is shaped by all the stuff that is going on in our lives, we lose track of the reality that God has for each one of us. It's so easy to get caught up in, well, the results of decisions that we make. And though we understand that we've made those decisions, we've reshaped or shaped our lives in a certain fashion, changing it, making it different seems to be impossible. Sometimes it is impossible. And so our outlook on life gets darker and darker and darker, based on all the stuff that's around us. I want you to know that what God has for us in life is separate from all of that stuff. And it's bigger than all of that stuff. That's the key. You know, I have watched for the last 35 plus years that I have been pastoring and ministering to people, and I've watched them on their roller coaster ride of a Christian life. That when everything's going okay, then things are going okay for them spiritually. But when things are not going okay with other aspects of their lives, then they struggle spiritually. And for many, many years, very troubled at, you know, what do you do about that? How do you change that? How do you help people? Because I love people and I want to be able to help them. And Lord, how do I change them? And the Lord began to show me some of what I have been sharing with you, that we have to learn to live life from the inside out rather than from the outside in. In other words, get it right on the inside and live your life first on the inside. And then whatever's happening on the outside of you will manage and will get done and will go on. The joy of the Lord that is our strength is inside. It's not based on all the stuff that's around us. The peace of God that passes all understanding is on the inside. It's not about all the stuff that's going on around us. Now, I know that in some ways this is easier said than done. But I do know this, that it is ours to do. You and I make the decision of how we will live our lives. God has made a provision from the very beginning. And this is what we're tracking in this study that we're doing over this month. We are tracking what God intended from the very beginning. You say, oh, but Pastor, the fall. Yes, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. You hear me? He said, I've come that you might have life. He has made it possible for us to go back and to have life, to have the meaning of life that God intended from the beginning. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want life God's way, not my way. Because my way has way too much pain in it. Hello? Does anybody in here ever make mistakes? Some of you don't. Maybe you could school the rest of us how that's possible in your life, that you don't make any mistakes. But those of us that do, it's not only the agony of making the mistake, but it's having to live out the consequences of that mistake. Bummer. Huh? It's hard. So you see, something's got to happen. It's got to happen on the inside of us. You know, even our relationships do not always turn out the way that we think that they're going to turn out. Sometimes they're difficult. And so if you're going through a difficult time in your relationships, either your husband or wife or your parents or kids or your brothers or sisters, but you're going through a difficult time in your relationships, your spiritual life should exceed and, if you will, precede those circumstances rather than be diminished by them or affected by them. In our last session, we began our study of the meaning of life upon this foundation that it all begins with being alive. How many of you have been practicing this week that example that I gave you of reckoning with life? How many have? Do you remember what it was? Are you ready? Come on, help me. All the glory of being alive. Right? Man was breathed into by God and became a living soul. And before he did anything else, before he even had the opportunity to mess it all up, God looked at him and said, good. You did good. Way to go. Well done. God was pleased with his creation by just bringing life. You see, we're alive by God. We're alive of God because he breathed into us. He created us in his image and his likeness. And we are alive for God because we are alive for God's purposes, God's provisions, and for God's placement in this world. Emily Dickinson, I love the quote, I gave it to you last week, to live is so startling, it leaves little time for anything else. You and I just need to learn to breathe, to appreciate the fact that breath is flowing in us. Again, folks, if we can get this down inside of us so that we're living our lives from the inside out, this awareness, this overwhelming awareness that no matter what's happening to me, I'm alive. We read from Ecclesiastes, better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Huh? Being alive and being in difficulty, in difficult straits, is better than being dead. Wow, there should be at least one or two amens on that. Maybe there are, maybe I just can't hear. How many believe that? Better to be alive and with trouble and difficulty than it is to be dead. This morning, we're going to take a next step in this. And these are huge things. I mean, I'm just barely skipping the rock across the pond on some of these. I'd like to have been able to spend a whole lot more time on being alive, but we're going to continue forward. The second piece that I want you to see this morning is the creativity that God has built into our lives. I want us to examine this creative power that God gave to mankind, to each of us. You say, well, I'm not a creative person. Sure you are. In the full sense that God gave this to us, every single one of us are creative. It goes under this passage of scripture in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Come on, let's pray together. Pray that God would open up your heart and your mind, would you? And that he would fill it with a new way of living. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that we can approach your word like a good meal. And you know how much I love to eat. I pray this morning that you would help us as we feast upon your word, that it would come into us, that it would nourish us, it would strengthen us, that we could move our lives from the outside to the inside, that we would let you be the God of our inner man, that you would take up residence within us, that your spirit would live within us, and that we would find meaning of life from the meaning that you brought us into the world. Guide us as we study today. In the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Robert Browning said, I count life just a stuff to try the soul's strength on. In other words, he said, it's all about what's going on the inside, and life is just trying to see how I'm doing on the inside. Katharine Hepburn, in the film Love Affair, 1994, gave this line. The trick in life is not in getting what you want, but in wanting what you get. Hello? Paul kind of said it in this way. He said, I'm learning in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You don't do that when your life is based, when the meaning of your life and the strength of your life is based on the stuff that's going on around you or about your relationships or the lack thereof. It's settling the issues on the inside. William Hazlitt wrote in 1823 in the English journal, The Literary Examiner, he said, the art of life is to know how to enjoy a little and endure a lot. Hello? Life's hard. Life is hard. If you haven't already, you will. You'll say goodbye to people that you dearly love. And in those moments, quite often, you just wonder whether you can go on. Because you have so integrated your life with their life that it will, well, it'll test your mettle. There are heartbreaks in life. Relationships that don't work out in the way that you thought that they would. Life changes. Other people's lives change. We grow older, and with age we change. Physically, emotionally, we change. So it's hard, it's difficult. And if you haven't settled some of the issues on the inner, in your inner man, in your inner person, the meaning of life for you will begin to stack up like the lady in the video that says, oh my goodness. Now, those of us that have already finished raising our kids, we can look at this lady and come to the understanding that those kids are going to grow up. Hello? Really, it goes by in a flash after you're past it. When you're in there trying to wipe noses and bottoms and do all those kinds of things with three kids or four kids or whatever, you think it'll never end, but it does. And they may even be like mine, where they take off and go all over the United States and you see them seldom. You reckon with a lot of the things. You know, the scripture says, and it came to pass. I heard a whole sermon on that one time, and I liked it, stuck in my brain. You know, that's the way life is. It came to pass. Just about everything in life, give it time, and it will pass. It will move on. And so the stuff on the outside is not what is relevant. It's the stuff on the inside. As we examine creativity, my mind went to Johnny Erickson Tada. How many are familiar with her? Do you know who she is? Johnny, when she was a teenager, and she's in her 50s now, I believe, but when she was a teenager, she dove off a diving board or off of a dock and hit something in the lake and broke her neck, severed her spine. And from that point forward was a quadriplegic. For many individuals who experience that kind of backset in life, they sit in a wheelchair and feel sorry for themselves for the rest of their days. She had something going on inside of her, a reality of life that really exceeded what was going on the outside. And what was stimulated on the inside of her was this incredible creativity. She sang and wrote songs. She paints with a paintbrush in her mouth. She travels all over the world speaking to people about, if you will, the joy of suffering, the power of suffering. Now, see, for many of us, it exceeds where we're at and what we're capable of. It's about having life with its roots on the inside. You see, we were built by God, inbreathed by God, to have a creativity, an ability to create as God did. Not in the same way that God did, but as God did. God created from nothing. He has given to us the ability to create from the something. in the same way that he made us. Remember last week I was talking about he gathered the dust. He took from something he had already created and gathered it together and then breathed the breath of life into it. He has given to us that capability of creating with the stuff that he created. But I want to show you a couple of things this morning about this. And the first one is, and it's found right there in our verse. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. It starts off with, and God blessed them. That blessing, the word that is used, berak, in the Hebrew, actually means to bend the knee. It's significant of the humility, if you will, that comes in the face of blessing. It also means to praise, to thank, which I believe represents the attitude of those that realize that they have received something. And then it means to call, to bless, to cause to prosper. God, when he created man, blessed man. This blessing of God, in one great sense, was a blank check made out by God and signed. Hello? Because he put no limitations on Adam of what Adam was able to do. Do you notice that? The only limitations had to do with his choice, and we're going to talk more about that in a couple of weeks, but the only limitation that he put there was the choice. Beyond that, God gave him unlimited boundaries. As a matter of fact, he gave him a bit of a jump start or a kick start when he said to Adam, he said, I want you to name all the animals that I created. So the creativeness of God began to boil up inside of Adam as he would look and see a giraffe, and he gathered and named a giraffe. Nobody else had ever seen a giraffe before. A giraffe didn't know what its name was before. God didn't name him a giraffe, even though God created the cow and the monkey, and he created these animals, but he withheld naming them because he was putting that power into the hands of a man. This power is really the intellect. It's interesting today to watch the computer geeks and wizards try to work on artificial intelligence. Basically, to make a machine that could think for itself. God blessed man. Hello? He gave him the power to think, to gather information, to formulate opinion, the power to be able to formulate thought, and then from those formulations to derive a direction, a creation. He gave mankind the ability to be able to take of the stuff, let's say, like the clay of the earth, to grab a hold of clay and to hold it in his hands and to form it and mold it and make it into something that would be useful beyond just a flat lump or layer of clay. In other words, to take everything that God had created and to give it worth within the community of mankind. This is the blessing of God. If I can say that this blessing was intellect, but it was intellect to accomplish something. the meaning of life, the desire that God had for the life of man was not that we would all just sit around looking pretty. Hello? But that we would be useful. That we would express worth. That we would gather thoughts and information, and out of that we would put together thoughts and bring forth wisdom, which is really the application of knowledge under the restraints of conviction. See, this was all God's idea. Again, roll back a little bit. Yes, every one of us sitting here have regrets over a decision that we made in our lifetime. Hello? We have regrets over a decision that we made in our lifetime. But thank God for the ability to make a decision. You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's not just about whether I make the right decision or the wrong decision, or whether I can, when I create, that I can make something that everybody wants to see, or something that only I can be proud of, or my mom could be proud of. Huh? It's about the fact that God gave me the power to do it. The intellectual blessing, the capability to be creative. We were marveling. Our little third grader, three-year-olds have already done their papers that are up on display in the fellowship hall. And if you make your way back there, you'll see them on the wall. And it's amazing. Delene and I were looking at those. And of how they speak to the individual kids, child. Oh, my goodness. The color that they used. The way that they did it. I mean, you can know the child by the drawing. How is that? It's because God blessed us. He blessed us so that no two of us are exactly alike. How many are there? There's what, about seven, eight pictures that are up there on the wall. There's not one, there's not two of them that are alike. They weren't worried about likeness. They were doing it out of themselves. They were doing out of the creativeness of God, the blessings of God that He gave to them. You know, the stuff that they have that God has invested into them. They poured it out in those little crayons, and here's this paper sitting there. And in that, if you know them at all, you go, oh, yeah, that's, and you can tell exactly what child it is. See, the blessings of God preceded the needs of man. Now think about this for a minute. This blessing of intellect, this blessing of ability, this blessing of creativity preceded man ever having a single need. God made man, and man had no needs. God supplied everything. Picked him up, put him into a garden of God's preparation, God's pleasing, God's provision, put him in there. Man was protected. The animals were safe. He could stand next to a lion. He could stand next to a snake. He could stand next to anything because God had made it all. It was all good. It was made for him. He's naming them all. They lived together. It was glorious. Had no needs. God made man in his ability to create apart from all the stuff that would be added to life. You hear me? As a matter of fact, folks, it is not diminished. Our creativity is not diminished by the hardships and the stresses of life, but actually can be enhanced. Great poets, great painters have painted and created the marvelous works that hang in museums today after they have gone through incredible difficulties. If time would permit me today, I could show you and walk you through history of the great men of God, the great preachers that God has brought forth, and the adversity and struggle that they went through in their lives. Why am I saying this? Because see, we're stopped and we allow our creativity, we allow everything to stop when adversity or struggle comes into our lives. But in fact, our creativity and the power of our intellect and the blessings that God put upon mankind precede and exceed those things. And if you will allow God, God will work His creation and His creative work in you, that when you're going through your darkest times, you will see that expression of God pouring out through your life. Jesus came that we might have life. What does that mean? He came back to bring us to the place that man was before the fall. Don't you know that one of the things that the enemy of our souls, the devil, wanted to take away from man when he tempted man, Adam and Eve, in the garden, one of the things that he was wanting to steal from man was his creative ability. He heard God when God said, when he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue it. Whoa. I got to get in between that. I want to have dominion over this man so that if he has dominion over the earth, that I have dominion over him, so I can get between he and God and muck it all up. Listen to this from Psalm 115, verse 12. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he's given to man. It's not the dead who praise the Lord or those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. In other words, it is those of us who have life in us who are able to praise God. It is those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who can stand up with a testimony and say, it is possible to take all your failures and lay them down before the Lord and give them to Him and come forth better than what you were BC, before Christ. Let me take the next piece of this because my time is escaping. The creativity of life is manifest in fruitfulness. Notice what he says. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. Be fruitful. You say, well, yeah, he was telling them to procreate, to make kids. He was telling them to produce from what they had been given. By the way, you know, this is the argument for marriage between a man and a woman. This is the one that will be coming before the Supreme Court. That only a man and a woman have the power to make a baby without anybody else's help. Because this is something that was given by God. As part of the creativity that God gave to man was the ability to be fruitful and to reproduce. The call to fruitfulness is the call to bring forth from the resources, gifts, talents that God has given to us. In the Genesis account, what God desired were people to live and work on the earth. So Adam and Eve were given the task of making kids. You know what's marvelous? Or marvel? A marvel? You know the plan of Islam today of how to evangelize the world? Is to have babies. Hello? It is. And that those kids would be raised in Islam and it would grow and flourish. Should be the plan of every Christian. For those of you that are listening on the tape, they all said amen. They just couldn't hear it. God has always worked with the tools that were in a man's hand. Moses on the mountain. What do I have that they would believe that you sent me? God says, what's in your hand? He said, I'm a staff. He said, okay, throw it down on the ground. Throws it on the ground, becomes a snake. He said, now reach down, pick it up, and it becomes a staff again. God used what was in his hand. David, a giant needed killed. A slingshot. To the disciples, it was 5 loaves and a few fish. It's what they had. And God said, here, just give it to me and let me show you what we can do with what's in your hand. Why? Because God gave creativity to mankind. God is always prepared, and he is always preparing a man or a woman in advance with the resources necessary to carry out the task he has purposed for them. In other words, God has equipped you to do everything that he wants you to do. He blesses us. He still blesses us. With the intellectual ability, with the creativity, the power to be able to accomplish everything that he wants us to accomplish. The call of God to fruitfulness did not end in the garden. Did not end with Adam and Eve. It's still the call of God today. Matthew chapter 3 verse 8, Jesus said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Colossians 1:10, Paul's prayer for the church. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You may ask again, how can I be fruitful? I've got so much going on in my life. There's so many things happening all around me. Fruitfulness begins on the inside because that's where God put it. The creativity, the power, the intellect to be able to live life and to do life has come from God. Don't despise it. Though decisions that we make may be bringing hardship on us for our present or our future, we've got to understand that God's, the meaning of life for us is about a creativity. It is about bringing forth and a fruitfulness that God will, well, he not only started, but he'll bring it through to completion. In other words, if you will let God, even at the darkest, most difficult times in your life, God will use you. And he will bless you through your fruitfulness. Why is it that our first inclination is to step back away from God when we're in trouble, when we're in adversity? It's because of the enemy that got in between God and man in the garden, and we continue to let him get into our lives. Why is it that our little bitty babies are convinced of their creative ability, but you give them just a few years and that creativity is taken away from them and they have self-worth issues? Because the enemy of our souls. We're believing the wrong voice. Start believing in the God of creation. Start believing in the power of Jesus Christ. Hello? He said, I've come that you might have life. I've come that you might be doing life the way God ordained it in the beginning. That you would be giving the fullness of life, enjoying the fact that you're alive and allowing the creativity of God to flow out of you. As I said with Johnny, Erickson Tada. She had every reason in the world to set back and to go, oh, that's it. This terrible tragedy that happened to me. Woe is me. I am undone. Hello? And nobody would think the worst because they would all look at her and go, oh, what a shame. She was such a beautiful girl. What a shame. She had all this talent when she was a teenager. She had all this ability, and then she's in that chair. Oh, what a shame. And her sentence would be waiting for death. The meaning of life, of her life, would be one of sorrow and distress and all the agonizing things that she has to go through as a paraplegic, having other people take care of her, the humiliation of it all. But no, because of Jesus and because of the life that God put inside of her and the realization of just what I'm talking to you about, there's creativity. And so she sits there in that chair or lays there in that bed and says, there are ways I will find them to be and allow the creativity of God to flow through my life. How can I help someone else? So she starts a campaign. She found out that in many of the other countries, there are paraplegics that have no wheelchairs. So she begins a campaign using her influence, using the gifts and the talents that she has, that God has given to her, and the resources that God's put into her hands to influence other people, to start a campaign to get wheelchairs and collect wheelchairs that nobody needs anymore and sends them to these other countries. By the thousands and thousands and thousands, people are able to sit upright. People are able to have mobility because she wasn't content to let her circumstance be the sum total of her life. We've got to get this on the inside. You understand what I'm saying? You see, if it's on the inside, then it's going to come out. If it's on the inside, if we're believing that God made man for his, with creativity, with the ability to think, to move, and to come up with things, you begin to understand that this circumstance that I'm in may be difficult, but it doesn't stop me. Wow, you're quiet this morning. It really worries me. Are you dozing off? Catching that other hour of sleep, that's what it is. Adam and Eve did their part. God purposed them to what? Have kids. Name the animals. So they threw their creativity to it. What do you think? I don't want to get too graphic on this, but think with me for a minute. There's no mention here that he gave them a manual of how to produce kids. He blessed them with creativity. And they began an experiment. One that totally amazed Eve, because when she had her first child, she goes, whoa, I made a man. That's what she named him. You know, sometimes the creativity that God will pour through us, if we give him an opportunity, will surprise us. I can't believe I did that. Sure you can. The only limitations to your creativity are those that you impose upon yourself. And too many of those are shaped by the stuff that's going on around us rather than what God put in us. Here's a big word. It's a three-letter word. Are you ready? Try. Because you see, there's no shame in failing when you try. It's only a shame when you fail to try. Because God blessed us with creativity. Finally, let me show you. And oh, I wish I had even more time, but I don't have time. So creativity is about more. What time is it? Oh my goodness. Well, it's only 10 till 11. That's cool. Wow, I got more time than I thought. I'll have you all asleep by 11:30. No, I want you to see this. Everything about creativity is about more. And when he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, he set before them a possibility, something that I believe is part of the meaning of life, and that creativity means that there will be an addition. Too many of us let the stuff that goes on or that happens to us in our lives take away from us. God has ordained that you and I would be able to add to what he has given us. Creative work is always about adding to what already exists. You never create to deduct or create to stay the same. Creativity by its nature demands a newness, a freshness. It is our opportunity to share in the creative work of God. Amen? Each of those days, as God was creating, he was doing what? He was adding to. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He could have stopped there and goes, okay, that's enough. Nobody else has done it. But he didn't. He continued forward in that creativity. He separated the waters, made dry land, made the heavens above and the earth below. He didn't stop. Do you realize that God did not stop in creative ability? But rather, when he made man, he blessed man with that creativeness, and he empowered us to move forward in that creativeness. That's how we are playing out, living out the image and the likeness of God as we continue this creative forward, adding to. You know, people say, oh, I can't believe they're doing all these inventing. Listen, I believe God's thrilled by all the inventions of man. I do believe that there are times that we set ourselves up for moral struggle because we create things and then don't know how to administrate them because we start moving into areas that we really don't understand. But the fact that God blessed mankind. Let me show you one more thing. And that is, have you noticed the explosion of creativity and inventions and things that have happened since 1900? I believe that there's a direct correlation with the outpouring of the Spirit. Jesus said that the Spirit will guide you into all truth. The enhancement of life that came through the power of the Holy Spirit is incredible. With the Spirit's present in our world, just his presence in the world, in believers' lives, brings a higher level of creativity to mankind. You don't have to believe it. But I do. Because you see, God is a creative God. And as God's presence is among us, there's more creativity. You think your life's work is impossible, perhaps. You think being creative in your present circumstances is impossible. Think about Adam. He was given the task of filling the earth. Huh? You kind of like look at God and go, you mean the two of us? Increase and fill the earth and subdue it? I mean, he hadn't been real far by that time, but he could probably look off in the distance and realize, oh my goodness, this thing is big. An impossible task. Kind of like when you and I look and we see the lostness of mankind. And God says to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of men. And we go, oh, but it's such a big world. Let me show you a little thing here in conclusion. Edward Kimball, a shoe store assistant and a Sunday school teacher in Chicago, spent hours of his free time visiting the young street kids in Chicago's inner city trying to win them for Jesus. Through him, a young boy named D.L. Moody got saved in 1858. Moody grew up to be a preacher. In 1879, Moody won F.B. Meyer to the Lord. Meyer became a preacher and won J.W. Chapman to Jesus. Chapman became a preacher and brought the message of Christ to a baseball player named Billy Sunday. Sunday held a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina, which was so successful that evangelist Mordecai Ham was invited to continue the revival in Charlotte to preach. Under Ham's preaching, a teenager named Billy Graham gave his life to Jesus. Hello? Oh, I can't do much. I'm just not that great. Not according to God. If you're alive, you still have purpose. If you're alive by God's breath, He blessed man and gave him the power of creativity. And I would say this, if you're alive by the power of Jesus Christ, in other words, He has saved you of your sins, then you have an incredible power, because when you accepted Jesus into your life, you accepted the power of the Holy Spirit. Let go of the stuff that's happening in your life. Let go of all the things that are happening. It really has nothing to do with the real life that God has in you. And to be shaped by these things, to be molded by them, to be stopped by them, is the greatest travesty known to mankind. Because God has put big things in us. We are alive to live. We are alive this morning to create. Begin to look inside at the tools and the giftings and the things that God has given, and begin to let them bubble up. And you say, oh, but I can't in the space. I don't have the money. I don't have the things. Oh, listen, that's all foolishness. Again, Johnny, sitting in a wheelchair, would have had full justification to tell us all the reasons why she couldn't paint. But somewhere along the line, she said to somebody attending her, would you do me a favor? Would you stick a paintbrush in my mouth? Because my head, I can still move. And if you'll put the canvas, or if you'll put that pad up in front of me, and let me see what I might be able to do with it. Hello? And because of her adversity, her struggle, her being a paraplegic, because of that thing, people wanted to buy those paintings. Could it be that God wants to use the creativity in you and in me, and let the because of the stuff we're going through be the catalyst to build something incredible? Oh, we need to reshape our meaning of life. I hear people constantly crying that their life does not have worth because of the circumstances they're going through, when in fact they're alive. And as long as they're alive, the creative blessing of God is at work, if they'll allow it. Know this, the only thing that can stop the creativity that God has put in your life is you. The only thing. Not even the devil. Don't you know that he was hoping, as a result of the fall, that man would not be able to reproduce? Huh? He wanted to be able to take that thing away from mankind. He had no idea. There hadn't been a man before. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what God's punishment was going to be. But he was hoping, let me steal that creative ability. Let me steal that purpose. God said to a woman, in pain, you will give birth to a child. Give birth to a child. You still have the ability. Hello? Sin has brought pain around us, church. But it doesn't have to rob us this morning of the creative work of God in our lives. Stand with me, please. I got to get you out of here. I thank you for your patience this morning. You see, I just feel inside of me that if we could somehow or another get this right, it would begin to change our days. Because, see, if we could get this right on the inside and we would begin to realize the power that we have that is just pent up in there, just waiting for an expression, waiting to be released. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. When you walk in and the doctor says, "I'm sorry, you have only 6 months left to live," you would say, "Oh, good, 6 more months. To let the creative power of God begin to flow from my life." One of the things that was robbed from man by the fall was an unlimited amount of time to be fruitful. Do you realize that? That's one of the things that we lost. Because Adam and Eve, before the fall, could have spent forever making babies, naming animals, and doing the things that God wanted them to do. But when they chose to listen to the enemy rather than to listen to God, then their lives were shortened. Jesus came to give us life. Hallelujah. Oh, this body's going to die, but the good stuff is going to go on.